This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. The summer of 1923 was a bit of a washout. High winds and lashing rain throughout the peak August season had kept beaches empty and holidaymakers looking glumly out of the steamed-up windows of seaside cafes and guest houses all around the coastlines of our islands. Lieutenant Colonel Ernest Gold, Assistant Director of the Meteorological Department at the Air Ministry, effectively the Met Office we know today, did his best to help. In a broadcast on the fledgling BBC in August that year, he tried to assure people that in a few years, every seaside holiday resort will utilise the weather information issued by the Air Ministry morning and evening, and will have its own weather map for the benefit of visitors, and a separate weather forecast for its district. Not much succour to those hoping to see the Pierrots on the promenade and the band on the bandstand, but what he said next gave a clue as to precisely what the Air Ministry was planning. Then, he said, there will be fewer holiday tragedies through boating in rough weather. The big announcement finally came on the 8th of November, 1923. Commencing January the 1st, 1924, it said, a weather bulletin for all the coasts of the British Isles designed for ships at sea, but also useful to shipping interests ashore, will be broadcast by the Air Ministry to long-range wireless stations. A full description of this bulletin will be given in the Board of Trade notices to mariners and in the Marine Observer. Briefly, it will provide reports of actual observations made at 10 weather telegraphic reporting coastal stations suitably disposed for giving mariners data for the construction of weather charts, together with information of visibility and weather conditions useful for ships approaching the coast. It will also give forecasts for coastal areas and districts with a general inference, and when possible, further outlook beyond the period of the forecasts, which will be for 12 hours. And that is how the world first learned of the shipping forecast. As the nation emerged blearily from seeing off 1923 and embarked on the brand spanking new year of 1924, at 9 o'clock in the morning on January the 1st, a voice emerged from the wash of the ether, first repeating the standard code, Hello CQ, to signify a broadcast, then the station call sign, GFA, indicating that the voice was coming from the Air Ministry at their headquarters in London. After a brief pause, the voice announced, Weather Shipping, and read out a series of weather forecasts for mariners in the seas around Britain and Ireland. Which means that on January the 1st, 2024, the shipping forecast is 100 years old. No recording of that first broadcast survives. We don't know who read it or what it contained, but if we were able to go back in time and tune in our wireless sets, it would sound reassuringly familiar. There were just 13 sea areas then, compared to the 31 we have today, but the format and style have changed little in 100 years. Naming the sea areas and giving wind speed and direction, weather conditions and the level of visibility. That first weather shipping was sent to the Air Ministry's powerful transmitter at Kidbrook in southeast London and then flung out to the world, up to a distance of 2,500 miles. That covers a lot of sea, a lot of ships. On their bridges and in their wheelhouses, many skippers and crew members will have had the pamphlet issued by the Air Ministry containing a basic guide to the forecast and a map displaying the 13 sea areas. Shetlands, Forties, Tay, Dogger, Humber, Thames, White, Channel. 7. Shannon, Mersey, Clyde and Hebrides. Where the shipping went out again at 8 o'clock that evening, and continued that way for 2 years before being absorbed by the BBC in January 1926 and being placed into the radio schedules under its new name, the Shipping Forecast. Now, the full story of the Shipping Forecast doesn't begin on that chilly January morning 100 years ago. Among other things, it dates back to the incredible pioneering work of Admiral Robert Fitzroy in the 1850s. Scientific weather forecasting itself was invented as a maritime entity designed to save lives at sea. But that broadcast 100 years ago is where the shipping forecast, as we know it, began. Since that morning a century ago, the shipping forecast has saved countless lives. Too many even to guess at. For a broadcast that is all about precision, from the pronunciation and rhythm of its delivery to the accuracy of the information it imparts, the tangible results of the shipping forecast are woolly and vague. But those results are as extraordinary as they are imprecise. Because those results are people. The sea is marvellous and it is merciless, particularly when it combines with the worst of the weather. It roars and it breaks. It smashes into coastlines and explodes against obstacles. It surges and subsides, pulls and pummels, thunders and thrashes. We are never more vulnerable than when on the sea, and we are at our most vulnerable on a raging, stormy sea. When Weather Shipping went out on January 1, 1924, the world was still coming to terms with the unthinkable death and destruction of the First World War. In thousands of homes that morning, there were empty spaces where people should have been. People who went to war and never returned, leaving behind questions that would never be answered in a world suddenly and heartbreakingly brimming with absence. Yet that morning, from the Air Ministry building, came a voice in the ether seeking to prevent absence, to keep as many of those people-shaped spaces filled as it possibly could. In the 100 years since that first broadcast, the shipping forecast has become part of the social fabric, defining convention and defying convention. It is romanticised and celebrated by countless devotees and enthusiasts, poets and musicians, writers and artists, many of whom have no connection at all to the sea. Ernest Gold, the man who announced the impending arrival of the shipping forecast in 1923, just one of the geniuses behind it, came from Coventry, about as far from the sea as you can get. Yet the forecast is as popular with landlubbers as it is with mariners, drawn to the broadcast by its rhythms and nuances, its mysteries and enigmas, by the purity of its grounding in basic human compassion. As it turns 100, the shipping forecast faces a future less certain than at any time in its existence. Unquestionably, the growth of satellite and Wi-Fi technology has reduced its importance. But reduction is not the same as irrelevance. The shipping forecast is still a vital part of the life-saving mechanisms that operate successfully around our coastlines. It also represents the very best of us. The best of intentions, the best of humanity. The forecast is outward-looking and entirely non-judgmental. It doesn't care who you are or where you've come from. If you're out there on that sea, then your life is worth exactly the same as anyone else's. And that worth is priceless. The shipping forecast is a pure form of altruism. The shipping forecast is a beacon of compassion. The shipping forecast represents the very best of us. That was a coastal story. I'm Charlie Connolly. Now, of course, there is no better way to mark the centenary of the shipping forecast than by buying my book, Attention All Shipping, A Journey Around the Shipping Forecast, a new centenary edition of which is out on January the 18th. It's much the same as the old edition, except it has a zhuzhed up cover and a new introduction, which I wrote after a trip out to Aardnamurchan Point in the summer. I am also touring my one-man show, Attention All Shipping, a celebration of the shipping forecast around Britain and Ireland in 2024. Tour dates are on my Facebook page, which is now called Charlie Connolly, Writer and Performer. I know. Performer. Absolute notions. I'll be wearing a cape and a fedora before you know it, swishing people out of the way with my silver-tipped cane. Hope to see you at one or all of the shows. I'll be at most of them. Probably all of them. They'll be like listening to Coastal Stories, only in a theatre with a bar. And you'll have to buy a ticket. But you'll get to see me blabbering and gibbering on a stage while waving my arms around a lot. And you don't get that from a podcast. Happy New Year, folks. Hope it's a great one for you and yours, and a terrible one for terrible people.